right. If he were Fae, I should be able to scent it. The boy held up his hand, still ruddy with heat. One, he said, displaying a finger. You will introduce me to the Alpha of the Pack. He held up a second finger. Two, you will ask them, as a person friendly to the Pack, if they will protect me, even if it is only temporary. He held up a third finger. Three, you will do your best to see that they agree. Snotty, I observed to Z. He pursed his lips, which wasn't actually an agreement. He didn't like many people, my old friend, but he was soft on this boy, and I couldn't see much reason for it. Most people wouldn't be able to tell that Z liked him, but I'd known the grumpy old man for a long time. What did he promise in return? I asked him curiously.
He got Dad and me out of Fairyland, Tad said. And when his dad grunted, he added, out of the Walla Walla Reservation then. And when he could have left us behind and escaped free without going back on his word, he stayed to help.
The boy had been following the conversation. Now he narrowed his eyes at me. Who are you?
She's our Alpha's mate, said Daryl in a very unfriendly voice. That means that right this moment she's in charge of the Columbia Basin Pack.
Then he raised his voice without looking away from Aiden the Fire Touched.
Why don't you bring some sweats for Hoel?
Apparently we were going to step down the threat level so we could take care of our own.
Got it, called Warren.
I thought he was still down talking to the police, but there was no mistaking the sound of his voice or the rhythm of his footsteps as he ran back down to the base of the bridge. I could leave Hoel's care to Warren and Daryl. That left me to deal with Aiden.
You aren't a werewolf, he said, but I could tell he wasn't sure.
No, I agreed, but I am in charge right this minute. Aiden made an angry noise. If Z promised to do his best to see that we protected you, I told him, he's fulfilled his word to you. I smiled grimly. If he'd come singing your praises, we'd have killed you where you stood. The only way Z would sing anyone's praises is if someone had managed to hit him with some kind of nasty magic when he had his back turned. Hoel moaned and rose to hands and knees just about the time Warren came up with a pair of sweats in his hand, bearing the letters KPD. He must have gotten them from Tony. Warren walked through the invisible no-man's land between me and Aiden, without apparent effect on his usual loose-limbed, big-strided walk. Ignoring Aiden altogether, Warren knelt and began helping Hoel. If it weren't for Adam resting against my leg, I'd have run over to help, leaving Aiden until I was sure that our people were okay. I was worried that Ben wasn't back with Zack yet. Daryl stayed where he was, to guard me from Aiden, I realized, guarding Adam and me. He didn't look down at Adam, but I could feel his awareness and worry. Warren helped Hoel, now modestly covered in Kennewick Police Department sweats, to his feet. Without ever quite looking at the boy, Warren kept himself between Aiden and Hoel. That told me that Warren still viewed the boy as a threat. Hoel shivered as if he were cold. Warren started to put an arm around him, then stopped. Warren was the only gay werewolf in our pack, in any pack that I knew of. The older werewolves were largely male and largely intolerant of homosexual leanings. Gay werewolves didn't last very long, unless they were extraordinarily tough or lucky. Warren was tough. He was also careful not to push any of the pack members unless he intended to bother them. It wasn't fear. It was courtesy. He glanced at Daryl. Daryl looked at me, then Aiden, deciding how much of a threat he still was. Then he walked over and wrapped a big arm over the much smaller Hoel.
You have this, Mercy?
He asked me.
I'll get him home.
I nodded. Hoel, are you okay?
It doesn't burn inside, he said, his voice husky and a little helpless. It's gone.
It'll be back, the boy said dispassionately. I robbed the spirit of its heat, but it is still there.
Are you okay, Hoel? I asked again.
This time he nodded.
I think so.
He took a deep breath.
I would have killed you.
I shook my head. We're pack, Hoel. Even the TV Sena knows it. He was just ticked because he got a chance to get out and strut his stuff, and we were cutting short his playtime. Hoel huffed a shaky laugh.
Maybe, but it didn't feel like that from the inside.
Ben and his minions rounded a semi. Zack, still in wolf form, limped heavily on his own 4 feet. He looked pretty battered, but he'd be all right. Just like Adam, who was fully awake and hiding it from the pack. I didn't do anything to give him away. None of the wolves looked at Adam. It would be disrespectful to observe their alpha in a weak position or to express concern that might be interpreted to mean that they thought Adam was too weak to heal. But that left me on my own to deal with the harmless-looking, if hostile, boy who had single-handedly taken down a servant of a volcano god. "Who are you? What are you? Why did the Fae want you?" I asked. Because information was always good, and because it would give me time to think. He narrowed his eyes at me.
"None of your business."
"You've made it her business," said Daryl.
The boy didn't think much of me, but his expression told me that Daryl had made an impression. "Daryl," I said, "please arrange for Zack and Hoel to make it back home with a couple of guards and someone who can patch them up." I didn't say, "and then get back here," but I knew he heard it. Daryl bowed his head in a move that made him look like he was 1,000 years old, though I knew that Daryl was only 10 years or so older than he looked. He picked Hoel up in his arms, and without another word managed to harness Ben, Zack, and a couple of other wolves in his gaze as he strode away toward the police lines at the end of the bridge. I returned my attention to Aiden.
"I'm a human," he told me sullenly. "I was lost in Underhill until she opened her doors again. The Fae want to keep me until they understand how Underhill changed me so that I can do this."
He waved a hand at Hoel.
"I'm tired of being a prisoner, and I need somewhere to stay for a day to put my options together."
"Lost in Underhill," I said slowly. "For how long?" The boy shrugged.
"I don't know."
There was a lot he wasn't telling me.
"It's not a difficult decision," he said. "Tell me to Rabbit, and I will. Tell me you'll have my back, and I'll stay."
He smiled, and it wasn't a pretty smile.
"Don't you wolves always worry about status?"
For someone who'd been trapped in Underhill, he knew an awful lot about werewolves.
"Wouldn't defying the Fae give you the upper hand?"
"Unless we're all dead," murmured Warren helpfully. "Then we don't care about what the Fae think of us."
He paused.
"Come to think on it, we really don't care what the Fae think of us anyway."
He gave the boy a cold look that seemed strange on my Warren, reminding me that though he was my friend, he'd also survived against the odds more than once, and it wasn't because he was too nice to kill someone. The boy, unaware of his danger, sneered. I looked at Z, because it didn't appear as though the boy was going to tell me anything. I knew I should just let him run. I could tell after 5 minutes that he was going to cause trouble. But if Z thought it was a horrible idea for the pack to protect him, he'd have pushed the boy at me as if he were a helpless mite that Z was determined to help, and I'd have known to steer clear. Aiden had saved Hoel. Despite what I'd told Hoel, I'd seen my death in the TV Sena's eyes. If Hoel had killed me, he wouldn't have survived that, figuratively or literally. Hoel would have been devastated, and Adam would have killed him. Not just in revenge, but because Hoel would have proved himself a danger to the pack. Werewolves had learned to be ruthless to survive. There was this also. Tad and Z saw something in the boy to admire.
"I wouldn't mind thumbing my nose at the Fae," Adam admitted, his voice strong and humorous in my head.
I looked at Z, who I trusted to tell me what I needed to know. "So, what exactly is he?"
"He's human," growled Z. "Or mostly, anyway. He started out that way a long, long time ago. He's been lost in Underhill since she closed her borders to the Fae, and it changed him. He's not the only abandoned one who turned up when Underhill reopened herself to us. He's just the only one who was coherent. Underhill changed him, changed them all, gave some of them elemental powers, powers of earth, air, water, or fire. Most of those children have been returned to the mother.
Returned to the mother, I thought, meant killed, but this wasn't the time to ask.
They were broken by that time alone.
The boy smiled fiercely.
They don't want to kill me, he said. They want to figure out why I can work fire. They want to know why Underhill likes me better than she likes them. Why she played games with me while leaving them out in the cold for all these centuries. They want to know everything I know about Underhill, because they've forgotten what they used to know.
From the expression on his face, I was pretty sure that played games with me might have the same meaning to Underhill that it would to Coyote. That which does not kill us makes us stronger, I quoted.
Nietzsche, murmured Z. Appropriate. Also, perhaps this one. Wer mit Ungeheuern kämpft, mag zu sehen, dass nicht dabei zum Ungeheuer wird.
I dragged out my college German and came up with a few words. Ungeheuern was monsters. Kämpft was battles. Let he who battles with monsters take care lest he become one, I translated out loud. Aiden gave the old Fae a smile with teeth.
We are all monsters here, he said. It's too late for any of us to be anything else.
His words sent a flinch through far too many of the pack, including Adam.
That depends, I said.
He looked at me with mild inquiry.
On your definition of monster, said Tad. Who do you allow to tell you what you are? Monster or angel, it's in the eye of the beholder, surely.
Why, I started to ask, then stopped. Aiden had told me why the Fae wanted him. He knew things they had forgotten, secrets about Underhill, and they were jealous because she kept him and gave him power. Any of which, I thought, would be reason enough for the Fae to want him. He'd helped Tad and Z escape. I owed him, and I wouldn't have left anyone I could help at the mercy of the Fae. As a last precaution, I tried to get permission from Adam, but either he didn't hear me, most likely, or he wanted me to make the decision, because he didn't answer. 24 hours, I said abruptly. If you do not harm one who is pack or who belongs to the pack, if you obey the pack leaders as the pack itself does, those leaders are Adam, who is our alpha, myself, Daryl, I gave a general wave to Daryl, who had returned sometime during the Nietzsche discussion, Warren nodded as I looked toward him, and Honey, who is not here. For 24 hours we'll grant you sanctuary in the pack stronghold, with the option to renew this agreement. I almost missed it, the faint widening of his eyes and the almost imperceptible loosening of his shoulders. Relief. Far more obvious was the rise of outrage from the wolves, that I would risk their lives for a stranger, that I had overstepped my authority. I couldn't tell which wolves were spearheading it. My pack sense was not that clear at the moment. Maybe all of them were unhappy. For the benefit of those unhappy wolves, I said aloud, Bran Cornick taught me that the pack only rules the territory it can keep safe from other predators. He taught me that where a debt is owed, it must be repaid.
What did this boy do for us? Asked Mary Jo, who'd come up with the others of the pack.
At her back, as usual, stood Paul and Alec. Mary Jo wore a baseball cap and sunglasses to keep from being recognized. She was a firefighter in Pasco, and had chosen to keep what else she was secret from them. But her secrecy felt like a for-now thing, not a forever. We'd been friends, or at least friendly acquaintances, until Adam had courted and married me. She thought he deserved a human woman, someone better than a werewolf like she was. That he'd chosen me,
A coyote shifter had devastated her. But she needed to get over it.
He saved Hoel, I said mildly. She'd been on the bridge long enough that I was pretty sure she knew that.
Oh, Hoel, your pet, right? The one you invited into the pack.
She gave voice to the unhappiness I felt through the pack, the bond we all shared feeling like sandpaper. I stared at her, and she met my eyes for a whole 2 seconds before she dropped them. The roar of the pack rebellion died down to a murmur that no longer pounded at me through the pack bonds. Mary Jo's wolf was convinced I outranked her, whatever her human half thought. That left her no room to challenge me, and she knew it.
Bran also taught me guesting laws, I continued. A person who asks for shelter will get 24 hours if he makes no move to harm. He will get food, drink, and a bed, protection from his enemies, safety. It is what we offer any who come to us.
Those guesting laws were old. Bran adhered to them, but not all the wolf packs did. From the unease in the pack, I thought that they would be happier if I hadn't mentioned the guesting laws. But the walking stick warmed gently in my hand.
Can you keep your half of that bargain? The boy asked me, looking around at the rest of the pack.
He couldn't read pack bonds, but he apparently was pretty good at reading unhappy expressions.
Aiden, I said, I bid you welcome to my territory and my home.
It wasn't enough, but with the walking stick heating beneath my fingers, I could feel the words that needed to be said.
By my name, Mercedes Athena Thompson Hauptmann, by my authority as the maid of the Alpha of the Columbia Basin Pack, I give you as much safety as my pack can provide for 24 hours, as long as you act as a guest in my house and my territory.
I don't know what kept my tongue going or why I raised the walking stick.
By my word as Coyote's daughter and bearer of Lou's walking stick, I so swear.
The staff lit up like a lantern. Red fire circled the silver ring at the bottom of the staff, and raced up the bark in Celtic knots that spiraled from the bottom to the silver top that had once again lengthened to a spear and glowed as if heated in a blast furnace. It felt as though all of the pack held their breath, waiting. I kept the staff up in the air and said,
Let the Grey Lords in their halls know that the Columbia Basin Pack holds these lands and grants sanctuary to whomever we choose.
Yes, said Adam in my head. Yes, agreed the pack.
In movies, they stop rolling the film after the climactic speech, or they change scenes. I had things to do. I knelt beside Adam, but before I could do more, he rolled upright. He rose to his feet with only a little stiffness, then shook himself as if he'd been wet. I could feel the shivers of pain the motion set racking and howling through his healing wounds, but no one else would. The others all turned to go, leaving the cleanup for the poor humans whose city I had just claimed, and I already saw a dozen ways that was going to backfire on us. There was a chance that every supernaturally endowed creature in 100-mile radius hadn't witnessed my declaration, but I was pretty sure that's what the walking stick had been doing with its light show. It didn't think, not like that, but I was getting better at reading its intentions anyway. Z started to turn, hesitated, then turned back.
So that was what they were trying, stupid verdammt troll, he said.
I paused. What who was trying when?
What the Grey Lords were trying to do when they sent that troll after me.
He didn't say anything for a moment, and when he did, he sounded sad.
There aren't a lot of trolls left, Mercy. Not so many that they should have sent this one to die, sad excuse for a troll that he was. And do not mistake me, they meant for him to die. That's what I missed.
They meant for him to die? I asked.
They would know, Z said. The Grey Lords are not as forgetful as some of the younger ones. They would know that a troll would not kill me.
He sighed and turned back down the bridge and started walking.
You do not send a puppy to kill an old wolf.
I followed him, Adam at my side. Warren and Daryl flanked us.
Tad walked next to his father, near enough to help if he faltered. Aiden trailed behind us. It bothered me to have him behind us, but I had his promise. Tad said after a moment,
"You didn't kill him, Dad."
Z considered it. Or maybe he was just trying to appear thoughtful and disguise how slow he was moving. After a bit, he nodded.
"This is true. Interessant."
"How so?" I asked at Adam's silent prompting.
"I am not at my best," Z said. "Things were done."
He dismissed them with a shrug.
"It would have taken me a long time to kill him, and without your wolves to keep him on the bridge, the battle might very well have engulfed some of the town."
He glanced around at the police officers, who were all giving us a little space.
"And even if I had managed to limit him to the bridge, I would not have been able to keep the humans away as effectively as you managed. Many humans would have died. You have changed this event, and not to their advantage."
"What do you mean?" I asked.
"Whoever made the decision to send a troll after me, they wanted a train wreck," he said. "They wanted death and destruction, followed by a battle guaranteed to terrify anyone who watched it happen. A battle generated entirely by the Fae. Something to remind humankind that they spent most of their existence being frightened of the good neighbors for a very good reason."
He looked back at me, then at Adam, who was walking beside me slowly, as slowly as Z was moving, in fact.
"You have changed the game on them. The Fae did not come out of this looking wonderful, but the werewolves defeated the troll, and you defied the Grey Lords themselves. You've set the pack up as the defenders of humankind, and proven that you are capable of taking down the monsters of the Fae."
I thought about that a while. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I was asking Adam, but it was Z who answered.
"Wer weiß," he said. "Only the future would tell us that. But no good ever came from battling the Grey Lords at their own game. You have changed the rules."
"I would take it as a favor," I said thoughtfully, "if you and Tad would come to stay with us while Aiden is our guest." Z looked at me. I didn't want him and Tad alone in his house if the Grey Lords were sending trolls after him. He glanced at the boy, who was trailing behind.
"Yes," Z said. "I think that would be wise."
4. Tad and Z followed me to Adam's SUV, with Aiden tagging along behind like a stray puppy uncertain of his welcome. We walked very slowly because Adam was hurt, and so was Z, and I wasn't certain about Tad. Traffic was still stopped, and people watched us as we walked. "Hey, Mercy," someone called. "Do you know what's up?" I looked over, but I recognized neither the voice nor the face of the woman who was standing outside her car, a toddler on her hip. "Troll on the cable bridge," I told her. "We dealt with it. They're working on getting traffic moving, but I think the bridge is going to need major repairs before anyone can use it."
"Troll?"
A teenager in a minivan filled with other teenagers stuck his head out the window.
"You mean like a real troll, lives under bridges, tries to eat goats, that kind of troll?"
I nodded and smiled, but kept walking. He let out a happy sound.
"Trolls versus werewolves. Our werewolves for the win."
Adam opened his mouth and let his tongue loll out. Someone in the teen's van let out a wolf whistle, and it wasn't because of Adam's big pink tongue. "Grandma, what big teeth you have," I murmured. The corners of his lips turned up, but he closed his mouth. About halfway back to the car, traffic started moving again, though it wasn't going to be breaking any speed records. After that, we got honked at, which made Z say something rude in German. Tad grinned and waved at everyone.
"Quit frowning, Dad," he said. "If you smile, they'll forget all about us in a day. If you go around looking like that, they'll wonder how many other trolls are going to be wandering into the Tri-Cities."
Z smiled.
Tad rolled his eyes. "Not like that, old man. That will give them nightmares."
"Be careful what you ask for," I said. Tad rubbed the top of my head.
I'll keep that in mind, short stuff.
I told you to feed him more coffee, I told Z. Look what happened when he outgrew me.
Children whine too much, the old Fay said. Just how far away did you park, and why didn't we get a ride there?
Sorry, I said, meaning it, because I needed to get Adam home so he could change and his shoulder could be checked to make sure it had healed right. Werewolves heal fast, which was good up to a point, but if a bone wasn't set correctly, it would heal just as it was. Then it would need to be rebroken. But there is no back way here, and no one could have driven us until the traffic cleared anyway. And the traffic still wasn't cleared. It hadn't felt like a long way when we were running for the bridge, but with two, possibly three, people who were hurt, it was too long. I'd have offered to run ahead and grab the SUV, but I knew that neither Adam nor Z would have allowed it unless they were on their deathbeds. Tad said somberly,
"Hey, Mercy, I'm sorry it took us so long to come help with the troll. We didn't know about it until we saw the traffic backed up. We'd taken refuge in one of the old warehouses in the Lampson scrapyard. I was headed out to find someone with a cell phone I could borrow to call you when I saw the troll."
"No one died," I told him, then corrected myself. "None of our pack died. If you hadn't made it when you did, Adam and I would have been toast. You timed it pretty close, though."
"It's all in the timing," he agreed, then grinned at me. "But close is still good."
We walked slowly to the SUV with its soft upholstery for sore bodies, and I felt Aiden's eyes on me all the way. Not quite hostile, not quite, but, my coyote self was certain, not altogether friendly either. Our house wasn't really a single-family dwelling. An Alpha's house was the center of the pack, designed to be part meeting house, part hotel, part hospital. Sometimes it was just Adam, Jesse, and me who lived there, but Howell and his wife currently were living in the suite on the main floor. There were two extra bedrooms on the second floor, and I'd sent Z to one and Tad to the other. Aiden had been, not ungently, settled in the safe room in the basement and told to make himself at home. The safe room had camera surveillance, and the doors were alarmed and lockable. When the doors were locked, the room would hold an out-of-control werewolf. Aiden had merely smiled at the doors.
"These locks won't hold me," he told me.
"You're a guest, not a prisoner," I said, more worried about Adam, who was in our mini-clinic getting checked out, than whether or not our guest liked his accommodations. "This is the last private room in the house. If you'd rather, you can sleep in the rec room, which is set up as a bunk room, too. But I'll warn you that there are a number of pack who view those rooms as public property."
"No," he said after a moment, as if he was trying to figure out how to react. "This is fine. I was just warning you."
"You gave your word," I said, "and we gave ours."
"Yes," he agreed.
Then he relaxed, as if we'd stepped back into something he knew.
"So we did. 24 hours.
He gave me an enigmatic smile that did not belong on the face of a child. The safe room was next door to the clinic. We both heard the crack of breaking bones. I froze, my stomach clenched. Adam's control was back in place because I had felt nothing through our link. Aiden jumped like a startled cat and showed the whites of his eyes. "Our Alpha's shoulder healed wrong," I told him, feeling sick. "They had to re-break it." We both listened to the silence.
"Tough man," he said finally.
"Oh, yes," I agreed. "If you'll excuse me."
"Of course."
But Warren stopped me as I headed to the clinic. Before I could say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, I found myself chopping vegetables while Warren and his very human partner Kyle barbecued hamburgers outside. We were setting up a barbecue dinner because, evidently, in between sadistic but necessary medical procedures, Adam had called for a meeting of the pack. In the front of the meeting room, the only spot of the room clear of chairs, Adam settled one hip on the library table that usually held whatever notes he brought with him. Tonight there weren't any notes. If we were going to talk about Aiden and my offer of sanctuary to anyone who came to us for help, I guess he wouldn't need notes, would he? My stomach was clenched. I was causing trouble for him again. Medea hopped on the table and stropped her stub-tailed body against Adam, claiming him in front of the room of werewolves. He rubbed her under her chin absently, his attention elsewhere. The meeting room was upstairs, adjacent to the family bedrooms. I'd asked Adam why he hadn't put it downstairs with the rest of the public rooms.
"A pack needs to be family," he'd said simply. "If I don't welcome them into my life, into my home, there will always be a distance between us. They need to trust me, to trust that I will take care of them. How can they do that if I treat them like business associates?"
The meeting room was packed with chairs, the kind you see in a high school band room or at a hotel banquet. More or less comfortable to sit in and strong enough to hold a heavy person, but stackable, so we could get them out of the way if we needed to. Adam glanced at his watch, so I knew he was waiting for a few latecomers. He looked almost normal, except for the grim tint to his mouth that I blamed on his shoulder. He moved both arms freely, but I knew it must still hurt. As Alpha, he could draw upon the whole pack for power, so he healed faster than any of the rest of the werewolves, but he'd been hurt pretty badly. I hadn't had a chance to talk to him, though. If I were a paranoid person, I'd have said he had been avoiding me. I worried that he resented me for making him have this meeting. Next time I felt the urge to make pronouncements, I'd set down the stupid walking stick before I opened my mouth. I wasn't sure even now that it had been the walking stick's fault. I wasn't certain I'd been wrong, but I did know I'd been overly theatric. Beside me, Warren patted my leg. Warren, bless him, had saved a spot for me right by the door, so I could escape first, he'd told me. But also, I thought, beside him, to show his support for me when I came under fire. "Didn't the pack used to have meetings a lot more often than we do now?" I asked him. "We have pack breakfast Sundays, but other than that, or some emergency, the whole pack only meets before the full moon hunt. But I seem to remember a lot more meetings when I used to only live on the other side of the back fence." Warren laughed soundlessly. I could feel his body shake next to me.
"Oh, meetings," he said after a moment. "Yes, there were meetings. You can always tell if Adam is ticked off with a pack by the number of meetings we have. Some days when someone was really stupid, we had meetings twice on the same day. I think it's his military background. There are a lot of us who are grateful to you for keeping him happy. Saves on our gas bill, and some of us even have time for date nights once in a while. Or hobbies."
I saw Adam's lips quirk before he blanked his face again. Etiquette among werewolves was that you tried to ignore private conversations. But, like everyone else in the room, he could hear us just fine. Ben entered with Zack and Hoel, both of whom still looked a little shaky, but Zack was by far the most battered. The hit with the Miata had fractured his pelvis and four ribs. Werewolves are tough, but Zack was as far from an alpha as he could get. He'd be in pain for days yet. Ben kept a hand under Zack's arm. The cool expression on Ben's face meant that he was still working as their babysitter, escort, something. On his own, he might still have decided to make sure they were safe, but he'd have had his happy mask on and come in making rude comments designed to get a rise out of someone. Under orders, he tended to be much more businesslike, especially lately. Ben had watched over Hoel at the barbecue, too, making sure he got plenty to eat. Zack had been in our mini-clinic with Adam, getting patched up. As soon as Ben entered, Adam nodded to Daryl, who shut the meeting room door, and went back to his seat in the front of the room. I felt the pack magic surround us, sliding over walls and doors and windows, encasing us in secrecy, so that no one outside this room could hear us. It would block our ability to hear anything going on outside, too. I'd have been more worried about that last, given that we had a stranger in the house. But Tad had promised, out of Jesse's hearing, to keep Adam's human fragile daughter busy and safe while the werewolves discussed what to do with their fey guests. Adam crossed his arms and said,
"Do we have anyone who would like to start?"
Mary Jo shot to her feet, body tense, though her eyes were lowered.
"Not you, I think," said Adam thoughtfully.
I'd never seen him refuse to allow a wolf their say in a meeting.
Someone else.
Mary Jo's mouth squinched down until it was hard to be sure it was there. But she sat down without saying anything because there had been something in that thoughtful voice, an edge that was not calm, not quiet, no matter how relaxed Adam's posture was. A wave of unease swept through the room as Adam's werewolf gold eyes passed over them. Adam was well and truly angry. I wondered if there was some way I could fix it. I'd set the pack up against the whole of the Fae. I had no trouble fighting with Adam when I knew I was right. Over this, I found myself wishing I hadn't eaten the half of the burger I'd consumed at the barbecue to appease Kyle, who had, he said in his usual sardonic fashion, cooked it just for me. Warren must have told him what I'd done, because the two of them had mother hen me just as Ben had Hoel. Now that food sat, an indigestible lump, in my stomach. Ben stood up, his body language casual, confident that he, at least, wasn't the subject of Adam's ire, this time. Adam raised an eyebrow. Ben took that as permission. Tad told me that his father will be fine, and it was probably better just to leave him alone unless he asks for help. He also assured me that his father is more than capable of dealing with... Ben stumbled. Aiden, said Zack. Probably not his real name because it means little fire.
Welsh? Warren asked.
Irish, I think, said Zack. Which doesn't mean it couldn't also be fire in Cornish or Welsh or 101 related languages. I'd known English wasn't Zack's original language any more than Zack was his real name. When he'd first come to us, he'd hesitated answering to it, as if he had to remind himself that Zack meant someone was addressing him. It wasn't unusual for wolves, especially old ones, to adopt new names. I wouldn't have picked him out as Irish. Maybe he'd just spent some time in Ireland, the same way he'd spent some time in the U.S. Maybe I was overanalyzing, and he just knew that Aiden meant little fire because he'd read it in a book somewhere. Zack's speech had been a little blurry. The troll had crushed his jaw, too. But his eyes were happy. Very happy. I leaned forward in my seat so I could get a better look at his face. He looked like a man who knew something no one else did. He'd been closeted with Adam in medical. I frowned at him, but he didn't see it. So Mercy's fae friend can save us from her other fae friend, said Alec bitterly. There were subpacks in the pack, groups of people who just liked one another and hung out together. Alec was one of Mary Jo's cadre. He didn't get up because Ben had the floor. But Zack's contributions, made while he was sitting down, had opened the way for audience participation. Adam stared at him until Alec dropped his eyes. It didn't take very long.
Indeed, said Adam very softly. Z has shown himself to be a friend.
Alec, his head bowed very low, tried not to squirm. Ben didn't react at all, just waited for the drama to be done. I tried, but couldn't recall any time Z did anything to help the pack. Okay, he had helped Adam find me when a fairy queen wouldn't let me go, but that didn't really count because he was helping Adam find me, helping me, not helping the pack.
Are you finished, Ben? Asked Adam.
Ben glanced at Hoel, who didn't do anything I could see, but Ben nodded and sat down. Hoel stood up. Adam said,
How are you?
Hoel smiled.
Better than I've been in a long time, he said, sounding it. The boy told me he hadn't killed the Tibisena, and he's right, I can feel it. But so far, I've been able to stay me for the past 4 hours. The boy, Aiden, helped you, said Adam.
Hoel glanced at me.
I haven't been able to stay human for longer than an hour or two since Hoyota gave me to the Tibisena, he said. Since Aiden drew out the fire, I'm in charge. I don't know how long it will last, but absolutely he helped me.
He waited to see if Adam had more questions. When Adam didn't say anything else, Hoel sat down. George stood up. George was pretty far up in the pack hierarchy. A good man, and steady. I liked him. Adam invited him to speak with a tilt of his head.
We are werewolves, George said heavily. Mercy is not, so maybe she doesn't understand how this works. We are pack, and we look out for ourselves. We cannot afford to take on the world and lose focus, forget what's important. We take care of pack.
And that's why you became a police officer, is it, George? I couldn't help myself, though I knew I should hold my peace. Not to protect and serve all the citizens of Pasco, but to take care of the pack. He flushed angrily.
That's got nothing to do with it.
I met his gaze and held it. Okay, I said mildly.
I do my job, he said.
Okay, I agreed. He did. George worked for the Pasco Police Department. From what I'd overheard during the barbecue, he'd been in among the police on the Pasco side of the bridge today. Pasco had lost two police officers and had another three in the hospital in various states of non-life-threatening injuries, one of whom he dragged off the bridge right out from under the nose of the troll, which was why I thought he was being pretty hypocritical.
Mercy quit playing games with the grumpy werewolf, murmured Warren.
When I glanced at him, he was staring at George.
You might start a fight. Remember, werewolves look out for the pack.
He bit off the last word. George sat down and stared away from me. Away from Warren, too.
He's right,
Paul said earnestly, standing up but not waiting for an invitation from Adam to talk.
George, I mean, not Warren. We cannot be responsible for everyone in the Tri-Cities like Mercy said, like she tried to make us be.
Paul had been on the bridge for my grand declaration. Paul was not one of my staunchest supporters.
Some of you think this meeting is to discuss the boy she brought home, but she did more than that. Mercy offered sanctuary to anyone who came to the pack for help.
Point of fact, I stood up, though there wasn't supposed to be more than one person standing other than Adam. I wasn't going to talk to Paul from a position of weakness. I reserve the right of the pack to offer sanctuary to anyone we chose to help. A small but important distinction. I sat down again.
You challenge the Grey Lords, Paul said.
His short reddish beard tended to hide anything but strong emotions, but there was a tone of entreaty in his voice.
We can't take on the Grey Lords, Mercy.
He had a point, but he was looking at what I had done from the wrong point of view. I stood up again, and then hesitated, waiting for Adam to ask me to sit down until it was my turn to speak. Adam was a stickler for order and proper procedure in the pack meetings, but he simply watched me with an expression I couldn't read, so I decided to go ahead and answer Paul's statement. I grew up in the Morox pack, I said.
Good for you, said Mary Jo.
I pulled out as much patience as I could manage and ignored her. Getting in a snark fest with Mary Jo would not be useful. Instead, I looked around the room at everyone else. Can any of you imagine the Fae sending a troll into the Morox territory, into Aspen Creek, or, say, Missoula? I let them think about it. Can you imagine what the Morox would do if they did? I saw a few appreciative grins. No, Bran would not allow a rampaging troll in his territory. What's your point? Asked Aurieli, Daryl's mate. She wasn't one of Mary Jo's crowd, and recently we'd been cautiously cordial. The Fae in Walla Walla either do not respect us, or they did not think that we would come to the aid of the human inhabitants in this city, I told her, told them. Maybe both. As a result, people died, and wolves got hurt. If they know that we will defend our territory against them, maybe they'll think twice before sending in another troll, or something worse. My point is that right now we cannot afford not to take on the Grey Lords.
But the Morox isn't here,
Paul, still standing, said. Paul wasn't the smartest person in most rooms, but he was just saying what I saw in other people's faces. No, I agreed. Do you think Bran would go kill the troll himself? He has more critical work to do. Facing the troll himself would give it too much importance, would acknowledge that it was a real threat.
He'd send Charles, said Paul, or Colin Taggart, or the Moor.
He grinned suddenly.
I'd like to see a fight between the Moor and a troll.
Or he'd send Leah, someone muttered.
Bran's mate could take care of business. I didn't have to like her to acknowledge that.
And then he'd go after whoever sent it and make sure they didn't make that mistake again, said Alec.
Right, I agreed soberly. The point is that the Fae would never send a troll into Bran's territory, because they'd go through exactly the same thought process that we just did.
This is not the Morrocks' pack, said Paul. We don't have Tag or Charles.
No, I agreed. We have Adam, Daryl, Warren, and Honey. We have you, Paul. We have Aurelie, George, and Mary Jo. And we did take down that troll with only a fraction of our pack, Adam, Daryl, Zack, and Hoel. We had no casualties.
They didn't do it alone, said Mary Jo. They needed Tad.
I held my hands palm up. We have friends and allies, I said. Good. Those are assets, too. Right now, we are in a position of power. We've killed their troll and drawn a line in the sand. It's up to them to cross that line, and maybe they won't.
Maybe they will, said George. And before this, we weren't an enemy of the Fae.
Weren't we? I asked. Weren't we? Then why did they feel free to send that troll into our town?
It's not our town, said Alec. We're werewolves. We're a pack. We don't own the town.
I looked around at the stubborn faces. I'd been waiting for Adam, or Warren, or Daryl, or someone to throw in with me. Without support from someone the pack respected, they'd never listen to me. I threw up my hands both figuratively and literally. Fine, I said, and sat down. I couldn't help but send an apologetic look Adam's way, because I was pretty sure I'd made everything worse. But he wasn't looking at me. He had folded both of his arms and closed his eyes. There was a white mark growing on his cheekbone that told me he was gritting his teeth. If he was mad at me, I thought, then we'd have it out in private. But, sitting next to Warren, I'd had some time to review my actions today. Other than feeling a little squirmy about the drama level, I was okay with everything I'd done on that bridge. I prepared arguments to defend myself. If I felt hurt that Adam hadn't understood, I tucked that hurt down and away. I didn't want anyone here knowing that I was hurt. Warren's long-fingered hand closed over my knee. He squeezed, then patted it, his face serene. Warren at least understood what I'd been saying. Honey stood up and looked around.
I am ashamed, she said.
She let that statement hang in the air for a moment. Then she continued,
I am so ashamed of all of you. I look around and all I see are stupid people.
It's not stupid to be afraid of the Fae, said Mary Jo hotly.
No, Honey disagreed, but that's not what makes you stupid, Mary Jo. You aren't arguing with Mercy because she's wrong. You're arguing with her because you don't know who she is. You still think she's some dumb bimbo who seduced our Alpha and stumbled into a stupid magic trick that allowed her to become part of the pack. That she is a mistake. That she is a weakness.
She looked around the room.
Idiots! Every one of you! We drove a volcano god out of our territory, and you are afraid of the Fae?
She made a noise.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't us. It was Mercy, wasn't it? She put herself between Huayota and us. She nearly died to protect us. And you are all still wondering if she should be a member of our pack.
She is a weakness, said Daryl reluctantly. Huayota saw it, too. She was the first of us he went after.
And she defeated him, Honey said. She drove him out of her garage.
Tad and Adam defeated him, Mary Jo said.
That's a theme here, isn't it? Said Honey. Mercy stands up for what is right, and her friends back her up.
She paused.
Why do you think that is?
Her lip curled when no one said anything.
Because they know she'll have their back in return. Pack is about not standing alone, about having people you trust to have your back. There is not another person in this room that I would rather have at my back than Mercy.
What about Adam? Asked Mary Jo instantly.
Not accepting Adam, Honey told her stoutly. Your pardon, Adam, if you find that offensive, but because you are our Alpha, you have other considerations, other responsibilities. Mercy, once she has your back, she has your back.
Adam didn't open his eyes. He just waved her apology away.
Offering sanctuary to the Fey boy was the right thing to do, Honey said. He'd given aid to our fellow pack member. It is right and proper that he ask for something in return.
And Howell wouldn't be a member of the pack who needed help if it weren't for Mercy, said Mary Jo fiercely.
Honey opened her mouth, but Adam spoke first.
Enough, he said, and his voice was silky soft. Sit down, Honey.
She sat, but her mouth was screwed up in anger. Adam opened his eyes and surveyed the room with bright gold irises.
Y'all are mistaken about the reason for this meeting.
His southern accent was unusually thick. It should have made his anger sound softer, but it didn't. Beside me, Warren's mouth quirked up.
We are not here to discuss Aiden and the sanctuary he was promised. We are not here to discuss the Fey in any way, shape, or form. We are here to discuss Mercy, and your attitude toward my wife, my mate.
He rocked to his feet and began pacing slowly back and forth.
Mercy is a tough, smart woman. She can defend herself. I do not have to protect her. She is not weak or dependent or needy. She doesn't need the pack. She doesn't need me.
I shot to my feet. That's not true, I said hotly. He tilted his head a little, his eyes meeting mine. His eyes softened.
I misspoke, he said in a steady voice. She doesn't need me to make sure she has enough food or a place to live. That is my privilege, but she doesn't need me to do that. She doesn't need me to keep her safe or to make her a whole person. She doesn't need me to do anything except love her, which I do.
Well now, I thought, abruptly breathless. I nodded at him and plunked down in my seat before my weakened knees gave out. After I sat down, Adam started that slow pace back and forth again. It was a hunter's gait. When he spoke, it was even more quietly than he had before.
When she agreed to be my mate, and when she agreed to be part of the pack, I understood that she would not welcome my standing between her and you. She's defended herself all of her life, and she is capable of defending herself from you when she cares enough to do so.
He stopped and looked around, an eyebrow raised in challenge. Warren coughed the words, blue dye, into his hand. Adam's smile flickered into being, then disappeared.
She has rightfully earned the reputation that goes back to her days in the Morax pack of being someone people respected. No one in Bran's pack wanted to get on her bad side because Mercy always comes out on top. And she has acquitted herself very well in my pack, defending herself from whatever you've thrown at her. But today on the bridge, I discovered something.
He let the pause linger.
I'm done with it.
All hint of softness was gone from his voice.
I am done with listening to you attack my mate while she is trying to save you. Again. I called this meeting to give notice. If I hear or hear about any of you saying anything to my mate that is in the least bit disrespectful, I will end you. No warnings, no second chances. I will end you.
And he walked through the aisle left between the chairs and out of the room without looking me in the eyes. Daryl stood up in the silence and addressed the room.
Adam has authorized both Warren and me to help anyone who wishes to leave this pack in light of this announcement. Do not go to Adam. I assure you that he is quite serious.
I sat where I was, dumbstruck. On the one hand, that was pretty sexy. On the other, holy cow. He couldn't do that. I just started making real inroads into the general prejudice of the pack. He'd silenced them. My life was going to be hellish, full of people who hated me but couldn't say anything out in the open so we could hash it out. It would just fester.
For what it's worth, Warren said to me, if he hadn't done that, I think Honey would have, and that would have been a disaster.
He looked at my face.
It'll be okay, kid.
I opened my mouth. He can't do that. Ben grinned at me.
Of course he can. This isn't a democracy, Mercy. That was brilliant.
I shook my head. That was a disaster.
How so?
Asked Mary Jo, who had gotten up and was standing in the queue to get out of the room.
And I mean that respectfully, Mercy.
She didn't sound sarcastic, but it lurked in her eyes. He can't dictate how people feel, I said.
Some people need to shut their mouths in order to use their brains, said George.
He sounded thoughtful. I stared at him.
And I'm beginning to think that I'm one of them, he said. I think that you're right. The Tri-Cities is our territory. If we don't police our territory, then who could blame the Fae for thinking we wouldn't do anything when they sent a troll through downtown? It never occurred to me that the pack wouldn't help. I saw Daryl up there and thought, good, they've made it. And if I know that, maybe we should make sure that the rest of the world knows it, too. It might stave off incidents like the one we had today.
He crouched so his head and mine were at an equal height, ignoring the way that meant he blocked the path out of the room.
Honey was right, he said. If it had been Daryl up there on the bridge promising the sun, moon, and stars, we'd all have backed him. And you not only outranked Daryl, you've proven that you deserve that rank to anyone who isn't an outright idiot. We should have backed you. And now, we will.
This isn't a third world dictatorship, I said.
Yes, said Mary Jo slowly.
Yes, it is, Mercy.
Her voice softened.
It has to be. We are too dangerous. Controlling our wolves is much, much easier when we are a pack following a leader. This needed to happen a long time ago.
Warren stayed by me as the room cleared of strangely happy werewolves. When Honey made it to us, she slid into the row of chairs in front. She pulled out one chair and stacked it on its neighbor, then took another and turned it around until she faced us. She sat on this one, crossed her legs at the knee, and waited, bland-faced, for the room to clear. Under her gaze, it cleared a little faster than it had been. Daryl gave her an ironic salute as he passed, which she returned. When we were the only three left, she said,
"Okay, any ideas on how this petitioning for sanctuary is going to work? Word of it is going to spread, and I expect that this Aiden character isn't going to be the last. There are a lot of people in hiding from the powerful groups, the Fae, the witches, the vampires, who will look upon this as an invitation. Do we take them all? What if the bad guys demand sanctuary?"
"Like Gary," said Warren in a serious voice.
Gary was my older half-brother, my very much older half-brother who was smitten with Honey and had made no bones about it. He wasn't, strictly speaking, a bad guy. On the other hand, he wasn't a poster child for the Heavenly Choir, either. Honey flushed, raised her chin, and said,
"Like Gary. Are we mediators? A hotel for the night? And how will we deal with expenses?"
"Do you really think that it's going to get that big?" I said, taken aback. I was looking upon it more like a line in the sand. This is our territory and we will defend it, rather than a clarion call of blanket protection for anyone who wanted to show up. She examined me with a small smile.
"Who knows?" she said. "I was just trying to distract you from your intention of cornering Adam in a private place and ripping him a new one. I figured it would be easier for me to do it than whatever Warren had planned."
Warren grinned at her, but when he turned to me, his face was sober.
"He had to do it, Mercy. I'm surprised he let it go this long, but he was worried that you would run if he stepped in too soon."
That startled me. "Did he tell you that?" I asked.
"Today," Warren said. "Daryl and me both while he was getting fixed up. And Zack, too, I guess, because Zack also needed repairs. You were a tough hunt for him. He had to all but turn himself inside out not to scare you away."
He looked up at the ceiling. Then he looked at Honey.
"The rest of this conversation is private, I think. You've distracted her from her panic. Thank you."
Honey nodded her elegant head and left. The foggy shape of her dead husband's ghost followed her. Peter was fading now, I thought with sad satisfaction. It wasn't safe for the living to cling too hard to the dead. It pulled the living in the wrong direction. She shut the door behind her. Warren closed his eyes a moment, and I felt when the pack magic slid back into place, locking us into a private space where no one could overhear. When he opened his eyes, they were yellow, but that faded.
"When you found me alone all those years ago and sent me to Adam, I thought that it would be the usual talk. Don't get in our way, don't make a stink, and we might not come for you some night and run you out of our territory."
"That's not Adam," I said. He nodded.
"No, he's not the usual alpha at all, is he?
for which we are all grateful. He's taken a lot of flack, you know. Not from Bran, but from other places. We are the only pack on the planet that has members who are not werewolves or